Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
We're just going to go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, we're going to read verses 42 to 47. And the scripture will also come up on the screen. I just did that this week for the panel because so they can look at the screen, because their Bibles were going to be too heavy to bring onto the stage. You guys got it? Acts 2. So Acts 2:42 says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So here we are in Acts 2. Something special has just happened in Acts 2. Jesus had promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. It had been prophesied. Jesus had died. He had then resurrected to life. And he had promised the disciples, wait. Wait for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit has just been poured out. On the day of Pentecost, people have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit like never before. The power of God is now available to everyone because Jesus has ascended with the Father and has now poured out his Spirit as had been prophesied by many, like the prophet Joel. And many of you would know the story from Acts 2. So much is happening. And then Peter, the apostle Peter, who was a disciple, He is just so filled with the Spirit. He starts to preach with such boldness. He goes back into all what God had spoken through the prophets. And he just starts to preach the word about Jesus and what Jesus had done and who Jesus was. And this was a day where there was just so many people were listening that come for this day of Pentecost. All these Jews had come from all over the place. And they were hearing this. And it says that as he preached, they were cut. They were cut in their hearts by what he was preaching. So much they said, "What shall we do?" Because they were seeing what was happening, what the Spirit, "What shall we do?" And he says to them, "Repent and be baptized." And it says that 3,000 people were added to their number that day. There'd been like 120 people that had waited in the upper room. They experienced Pentecost. And then now 3,000 people are added to their numbers. So this is where we are when we come into verse 42. It then says, and they devoted themselves. It's talking about all these people that have just become saved. It's talking about the people that were already following Jesus. They devoted themselves to what? To the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. The apostles' teaching that they're talking about is the word of God, is what Peter had been speaking that came from the Old Testament, that came from what Jesus had done. He was talking about the Word of God. This is the apostles' teaching. That's what they devoted themselves to, the Word. They devoted themselves to the Word. Then it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. It's talking about communion. What Jesus had shown them in the Last Supper is what they were devoting themselves to. They weren't just having communion in the temple, in the synagogue. They were actually doing it in the homes. It wasn't just a once a month thing, twice a year thing, once every 2 week thing. They were doing it in their homes, breaking bread together in remembering what Jesus had done, what Jesus had given in communion. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. But the breaking of bread is also talking about eating together. They actually ate together in their homes. You know, we had family lunch last week, didn't we? How good was that? But they weren't just doing family lunch on Sundays. They were actually eating together during the week in different ways. It says they devoted themselves to teaching and the fellowship. What's the fellowship? Fellowship is about close relationship between people. Fellowship. As Christians, we use that word so much. Ah, let's get together for some fellowship. It can be so Christianese, a fellowship. But all it means is close relationship between persons. It actually means participation, sharing. That's what fellowship is. So they were devoting themselves to fellowship. They were having close relationships with one another. You know, it's so easy in this day and age where individualism and consumerism is such a big thing for us to just do church on Sundays or once a month or, and we just do everything else by ourselves throughout the week because life is so busy. But we actually, fulfillment in life and how God's created us is actually in close relationship. You can't do that with everyone, but you can do that with a good number of people. And that's what these people were doing. They were in fellowship. And it's crazy how it says that they sold their possessions and distributed proceeds for the needs of all. Hold up. It didn't say they sold all their possessions. People are like, man, do I have to sell everything? It doesn't say they sold all. It said they sold their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. The focus there is that there's people that had need and they were in such close relationship that they would do what they need to do to provide where there was need. And then it talks about prayers. They devoted themselves to prayer. We love prayer here at Yuma South, don't we? So they devoted themselves to prayer. They just didn't devote themselves to prayer because sometimes we can be like, man, I just want to pray. I'm praying all the time. But they devoted themselves to prayer, to the word, to close relationship, to communion. And I just think this is just such a good blueprint of what church family needs to look like. So we're going to talk more and more, come back to the scripture every now and again. But today we just really want to talk about how we can actually do this through life groups. That's one of the tools as churches that we have, and that's what's demonstrated in the word. So we're going to hear about life groups today from our brothers and sisters that are up here with me today. So we're going to start with Ian. Ian, tell us, as we talk about life groups, what is a life group? And how would you actually describe a life group in your own words?
Well, Pastor Steve has unpacked a lot of things of what the life group is, actually a lot through Acts. I think I really see it, a life group is it's really a small group of, you know, believers coming together as part of the church and committed to really growing disciples and into this maturing, growing in God and reaching out. Sometimes Sundays itself, it's just too many. I mean, it's a great place to come and gather together, but how much intimacy we can actually share and everything, it's sometimes a bit of a challenge. And I think life group provides the opportunity to come out of, you know, your work, come out from, you know, all the rush and all that, and have time to fellowship, learn, study God's word, and really doing like what the word life is, doing life together. Had to feel like I'm really encouraged when I see members, you know, rise up and, you know, when someone's, you know, not well or something like that. And we've had a few recent circumstances and, you know, things that happened before and you know, and just hearing of like, oh, I came over to visit or even prepare a meal. And you feel that it's that sense of like, you know, you get the sense of belonging and connection and, you know, I got extended church family, being close and, you know, to pray with you, bring the presence of God, and yeah, that's just, I think, what life really is about, yeah, life group. That's a bit about it.
Great.
So good. And we have so many life groups in Numa South that gather together. Food is a huge part of life groups as well, and it's biblical, right? Breaking bread. And so just to explain as well, for Numa, we have what's called Numa Discipleship. So rather than have a heap of events throughout the week, Wednesday night is where a lot of our Numa discipleship happens. And on week 2 and week 4 of every month is when we have what life groups. And we'll talk more about what life groups we have, what days we have them. But just so that you guys understand, this is not something that we do necessarily every week. We break it up by having team events and upskilling and learning new things, and then also prayer. But life group is in weeks 2 and 4. And so next to me here I have Shaz, who's in a life group and been in a life group for a long time now. But I just wanted to ask what you think are some great things about life group, what makes a great life group, and how life groups impacted you personally.
Yeah, there's a lot of things I think that make up a great life group. But if I narrowed it down to 3, I think the first thing is a welcoming spirit. Like, I love it when I come through the doors and you're just greeted with smiles and hugs. And there's just, yeah, great conversation and something little as, hey, come sit here with me. It really means a lot. Yeah, it's that sense of belonging. The second thing would be just honest conversation. Just where people can share honestly about things they're going through, or their perspective on what the Bible study is, and like there's no question that's silly or too big or too small. And the third thing I think is that it's anchored in prayer and encouragement. Mm. So everything that is spoken about or brought up is always like prayed about at the end, and people leave with that, like in life group, but like that, they leave with life spoken over them, spoken into their situation.
Life group. Yeah. I like it. And what about you, Dan? Anything you want to add to that question?
Shaz covered it very well.
What she said?
Yeah, well, no, pretty much.
We want to hear from you, Dan the man.
The only thing I'll just add, I'll just build on what Shaz said about prayer. I was reading Romans 1, 9, and Paul talks about that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So I think we get a real good chance in life groups to pray for others. We have a group, a community who we can pray for. We always get the opportunity, which is a real honour, to pray for our life group's family members, and that also means we hear how they're going. So I think, yeah, being able to pray for some people, have a target for your prayers. Maybe you don't know what to pray for on a Tuesday morning. Life group, you know, what's everyone going through? What do the leaders need? What do the new people need?
Amazing. I really like that prayer. Prayer is an important part because you also know that you've got people to call on. I know someone in our life group was going through something and she felt God say, just put it on the group. Yeah. So that you can have an army of people praying. And then what's so good about that is then the life group leaders, with permission to share, can then take that throughout so that we as a church can be praying. So it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
That's really good. Life group, it sounds like church, what we do on Sundays is so important, but it's just a start. But it's also the place where we all just come as a bigger family to celebrate. But life group is such a good opportunity. And I just think of Ian, and he's just got so much on his plate, but he's still committed to it. And I've made excuses. We can make excuses, just like we do for anything else in life. But the value that comes out of being part of a life group is just amazing. And sometimes I think about when the world looks at the church, what actually makes the world want to be part of church? You know, Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. That's, you know, what's going to differentiate us from a footy club or some community group out there. It's going to be our love for one another. And that comes out of being part of a life group, and you hear more of kind of relationships that can come out of life group. But Dan, it would just be good to hear from you again. How have you actually personally seen yourself grow, you know, in life group? What are some growth you've seen through life group as you've been part of life group?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I've been part of life groups for quite a while. Been 2 at Numa, and you know, just to build on what Shaz says, very welcoming. In the previous life group, Rain, and it were very welcoming. And what I've learnt from life groups and how it's helped me to grow, especially with Pneuma South, is there's a couple of things I've kind of written down. I've just learned to listen and to be humble, and just seeing each other's people's faith, their kind of background, what they've gone through. Everyone's gone through something different. And even though I think, you know, I've been a Christian for a while, I've, you know, read the Bible, I'm always learning something new from, you know, from everybody in our group. I've learned something, everybody. It's about learning to get God right. I think, you know, it's good to talk about your views on the Bible and also maybe be corrected, but in a good way. I've been in life groups where people have, you know, said things maybe which were wrong and they were corrected in a bad way. Mm. I think, you know, just a bit of understanding, being able to develop and know a bit more about God is good.
Wow.
Yeah, with Shaz and I, as a married couple, I feel our marriage is helped and developed by being in a life group. I feel the Connect Group's a great supporter of Shaz, and it's a great supporter of us together, which I think is really important to have that, you know, community around that. And yeah, just to become a more well-rounded follower of Jesus, you know, I'd love to say I'd develop more and a holy man, but I'm not, but it still helps me progress. I feel that, you know, with Connect Group, I turn up enough.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I always say. I turn up enough to get development.
Great.
And the other thing I really take out of Connect Group and church as well, but, you know, Connect Group's usually for us in the middle of the week, but I sometimes come home and I just want to read my Bible.
Wow.
I want to pray.
That's good.
You know, I don't maybe find that on, you know, for example, December, January, maybe a bit of a lull because I wasn't in that Connect Group.
Real talk, bro.
Nah, it was pretty good. It was pretty good. But, I guess, you know, what Shaz said about welcoming, and I really endorse that because, you know, like, I'm lucky that I get to come with Shaz, but some people come on their own. I think that's so good. I really acknowledge that because if you, you know, for me, I couldn't stay in my faith journey without community. I couldn't, you know, just, you know, be at home and just read my Bible and be all good. I need that community. Mm. And if you can, you're a better person than me, but I can't. So I feel that that's been really helpful. And just, you know, finally being able just to hear, you know, even just it's not even just Bible things, but just discuss life things.
Yeah.
Like, I find that I hear and learn a lot from people, you know, who work in a different area or, yeah, once again, have different life experiences, which can really speak into my life.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great, man. I love it. Life groups. It is really doing life, isn't it? And just watching, you know, when you're in a life group, you see different people come in at different times and people, it's not everyone who comes out straight away, like true colors or they feel free, but just seeing people become more comfortable and just growing in their own confidence, in whether it's in praying or reading from the word or just sharing. And it's all about being comfortable. No one puts you on the spot, except for me sometimes, to, you know, for some people in the crowd. No. But it's like you can just come and just be quiet in a life group and not have to say much. And it's all good. It's just come as you are. And I love that when you come back to church on a Sunday, you feel more ownership of church. Like you feel like I really am part of this church. I'm part of the family. Because sometimes you can just come in on a Sunday, just see people but not really know them and then keep doing that every week. Whereas with life group, you've got like a little tribe that you have within the bigger tribe. So it's really good that we get to do this together. Now, Mr. Ian. Ian's led life group for as long as I've been at Pneuma South, but before I was at Pneuma South, and I'm pretty sure before Pneuma, you were leading a life group somewhere else. What is it that keeps you continue to just be so involved and leading in that space?
Thanks, Pastor Steve. I think one of the things that I came to a stage whereby when I first came to life group, I felt like the isolated one, actually. I was, actually those of you who may not know me in the past when I was living in Brunei and in Malaysia, you know, I actually don't like crowds. I don't like speaking out, you know, mess like this. I will always be more than happy to be in the background and or hiding behind my keyboard. I'll go to a life group and probably not even say a conversation at all. I mean, some of you might not believe me, but this is just what it was. You know, I just like to listen. I mean, I guess and you know, but I felt, you know, life group really changed the perspective of me and how I really saw like the family of God coming together in, you know, amidst all the, I say, like all the busyness of days and everything, just to have someone who can look out for you, check in on you, you know, just say, hey, how are things? You know, how's your week been? Very, very practical stuff too that I really saw, and I think God's really put me, I guess, a love for people. I would say, and that's one of the drivers of why, you know, I do one. You know, the God's bride and God's people, and everyone comes in obviously different, you know, have their own different past experiences, but really just connecting. I just really love to see the people of God really come together and more. And it's more than just a Sunday, and it's through the, you know, the life group that we can just really connect and really I reach out, you know, and yeah, that's pretty much. I just want to sort of like say that keeps
that's
me going.
Good, man. I love that you've got a love for people, and you know what it's like to be the isolated one, so you're always looking out for people. And And you've done a great job in growing other leaders, raising up other leaders to do the same thing. But, you know, with Life Group, I think at least half of the church is in the Life Group at the moment, which is really good and such a strength for our church. But it'd be good to see more people in that, because you just build deeper relationships and closer relationships. As iron sharpens iron, man sharpens man. But when we do Life Group on a Wednesday, pretty much those things we've talked about, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayer. So in a Life Group meeting, it can look different from house to house, from leader to leader, and how they do it. But there'll always be a time where you're going to spend in the Word. And most times it might be that we're going through what was preached on Sunday, and we go deeper into that. We just discuss a few things, but it could be that we're doing a specific series on something within Life Group. So there's always the Word in there. As you heard, there's always prayer in there. And food, like you heard, there'll be food. People get to bring food. You know, some groups love to cook and have dinner together. Some don't love to cook, so they just dinner at your own house and then come with some snacks. It looks different for everyone. And then there's always, you know, that time to pray. But some of my favorite time of Life Groups is just where we're just chilling out and we're just talking, how you doing, and people are standing there, people are standing here, and just chatting away. So it's pretty laid back, but you also really get deep into the things of God and get to know one another.
And that's a good tip for people that have food sitting in front of them now, that you are allowed to eat the food in front of you. We're making it feel a bit Life Group today, so feel free to grab some candy and some food. Ian, I have a question for you, being a Life Group leader. What would it take for someone who is thinking about leading a Life Group or even wanting to host a Life Group? What's entailed in that?
Yeah, so I think I shared a bit of my background. I don't like I said, speaking out and all that. So teaching was just out of the picture, speaking in front of people, discussing, you know, discussion leading and all those things that look like, you know, you're like, I'm in some kind of leadership position was the last thing in my mind that I wanted to do. but I think God changed everything. I think what the two things I really just really sums up, I guess, why I do what I'm, you know, doing now and I'm stepping up. And one, obviously, we talk about loving. When you love God, you know, loving people is one aspect. I think the second thing is really availability. I had literally no skills. I was really stuck with my video games that time and lots of other things that would just distract you, you know, when you go to a cyber cafe with friends and all that kind of stuff. And but, you know, one of my leaders challenged me and said, Ian, you know, I just somehow sense in you that, you know, I like, of all people, you know, why, you know, but I think at the confrontation, God, you know, I took the step of faith, you know, being available. God, you know, just use me. I've really no idea.
When you say available, you mean available in your heart. Because you're one of the busiest guys I know and you make room for Life Group. So you mean available in your heart.
Yeah, really more available in your heart. Yeah, you know, loving God, all this, and always saying, God, you know, I'm available to use, show me, you know. And I think just things just come into place. Things that I never imagined in my life I could really do. I think God has just transformed, you know, inside out. And what I learned from church and everything, I could use it even in my workplace and, you know, where God takes me out, you know, in terms of it. But and that it comes, I think, from just being faithful, you know, just being available and saying, God, you know, just use me. And I think as I grew in that journey, you know, it's, you know, the love for God's word, you know, I was able to discuss, you know, discussion lead, teach, you know, and learn, you know, as, you know, in that journey together. Yeah.
And what about someone that's wanting to host in terms of opening their home?
I would say hosting, it's very much similar in terms of just having, you know, love for people again. Being and then the difference is really making your house, your home, like the physical part of thing available. Because there's sometimes there might be leaders or might want to step up and all that, but they don't really have a place to meet. And sometimes, you know, the place of a home, you know, where God's, I mean, back home, I used to have, my previous church, they used to have lots of cell hosts, actually, they call it cell groups then, but life groups that you know, want, they're willing just to open their place to, you know, let, you know, the believers gather together, bless, you know, and they're talking about, oh, we just love to have the presence of God, you know, just being, you know, in that midst and just blessing the family and yeah, just really opening your home and maybe bit of hospitality, obviously. But yeah, this is just some of the practical parts.
We just want to welcome number two panel. Hope you're having fun.
Good times, eh? Hey, do we have that picture that shows where the life groups are? If you could bring that up, because you're probably thinking, where are the life groups? So we've got that. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 life groups up there. But could you put up the map? There's one that's a map that shows where all the life groups are. Now, you probably can't see close enough, but I'm just going to talk you through
it. Look to the red, yeah.
All those little red dots. And obviously, we're on the bay side, right? People at the bay side. So look closer to the water around there. But the little green dots is which ones are the life groups. So there's about 8 dots there. Then all the red dots all around. It goes as far as, you know, Richmond, Kew, is where people live. So
can
all the red
see
dots.
See their house? How cool is it to see where we're coming from?
So the red dots are people's actual addresses. Could you just go in there and show me everyone's address? I'm just kidding, Tender. but pretty much you can see where all the red dots are. It goes as far down as Lang Warren, you know, as wide as Officer, Berwick, where people live. But our life groups in the green, we've got Mentone, Moorabbin, we've got a couple in Dingley that meet here at church. There's Mentone, there's Chelsea, and there's Keysborough. So you can see with where people live, we actually need more homes to be opened. So there's probably only about 6 homes within Yuma South at the moment that open up for a home group. So be praying. You know, to ask the Lord, maybe this year you want me to open up my home for someone to, you don't actually have to lead the life group just because you've opened your home. We find sometimes it's better to have a different leader to the host because you don't want to be too worried. Like, I worry about cleaning up the house. But you shouldn't even worry about cleaning up the house. Just let people come in and see how your house is all the time. I'm still preaching that to myself. but yeah, so you can see where the life groups are and where the people live. There's obviously a lot of people in the Bayside, but there's also a lot of people that are further out. So it doesn't matter how far you are, you could actually open up your home for a life group. So be praying on that.
So cool to see, hey. Did everyone find their place?
Do you want me to get up and
yours.
Point?
Yours anyone, is a little further
out. Anyone
want
to know where their house is?
Go for it.
Am I up next? I forgot I was up next. Here we go. So who have we have got up here? We've already introduced them. Bevan is first up. Bevan, can you just tell us which life group you're in and how long you've been in that life group for?
Okay, I'm in Shady and Jules' life group in Hampton East. It's, the house is Adrienne and John's place and they're excellent hosts. I've been in that life group since this campus started, I believe, and when we first started.
2017.
Life groups, yeah.
Wow. So that's a long time. How many years is that?
Oh, well, we're heading 8.
Wow.
So whenever our anniversary is.
Yeah. So with life groups, I don't know if those have been in life groups, connect groups, C cell groups. There's many names to them, right? We call them life groups here at NUMA. I've noticed that many life groups don't usually last more than 2 years sometimes. Like, it's just for different reasons. It winds up, people move to this or whatever happens. But to hear someone's been in the one life group for 8 years, I'm just amazed. And so I'd love to hear from you, Bevan. What is it? What is it about this life group that has kept you in there for so long? Or what is it about you?
Not me. It's the food.
The food. How do they do food? How do they do food in this life group?
Yeah. Oh, there's Malaysian, there's Filipino, Mauritian, Italian, and every now and
all
again
cuisines.
A little bit of French patisserie, so it's good food.
You're selling your life group well, I like it.
Yeah, so it's very welcoming. It's a great atmosphere in Adrian and John's house. And you feel that as soon as the first time you visit. And then, you know, we eat nice food, we fellowship, we study the word, we pray, and then we fellowship a little bit more and then we head home. But and we have each other's backs through for our chat, through prayer, and staying connected with each other. So it's a really good family life group.
Yeah, so you'd have a WhatsApp group as part of your group?
We have a WhatsApp group.
That's great.
It's very effective, and we have prayer needs. We put it up, and we pray for each other.
That's really good. Yeah, you think over 8 years, people would have gone through some highs and some lows, and to be able to do those seasons with people is really important. We don't have to do it ourselves. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I've got a question for all of you, and we're just going to spend some time chatting to the people on our table. If you haven't met them yet, this is your opportunity because we've been walking and hanging around. But I wanted to ask, and it doesn't necessarily have to be here at NUMA, it can be over your Christian walk or just even something that you feel now, but what would be some obstacles or have been some obstacles for you joining a life group or being part of a life group?
Guys, we hope you've had some good discussion because it's really real, isn't it? We know life group, it's for a lot of us, this is not news about life group today. We hear about it every second week, it's coming up. But there's some real things that can stop us or make it hard to either being able to make it or be part of it. So we'd love to hear from some of the tables on what some of the things that came up. So like I said, we won't really put you on the spot. But Helen, could you maybe tell us some of the things that came up on your table about some obstacles that could come up in being part of a life group?
Yeah, so we discussed things like family commitments. So Steph was saying that sometimes with kids, it's like challenging to, sort of commit to that time. We also discussed work, how that can sort of become a role, a factor in, making things difficult as well if you're working in shift times. And we also talked about how it, like, outside of life groups, it's important to connect with people and, like, foster those relationships outside of a structured life group time.
That's really good. Thank you so much for sharing that. So real. So with all those obstacles, I'm sure a lot of you would have had the same ones come up. How do you actually end up being part of a life? Like, how do you get over those obstacles? Like, maybe David over there on your table, you know, you've been part of a life group for a while and you have a family, you have a job, you have all these things. So maybe taking from everything you've heard, but just how as much as it's real, how do you actually then end up going to life group? How do you make it happen?
I think it's been intentional and equipment to the people. You know, you're going to commit yourself to that group of people and just be intentional to just make that time.
Yeah, that's good. Being intentional. Absolutely. Like, you'd hope out of life group, what happens is that actually it grows a friendship factor, that you actually feel like you're hanging out, you spend time with friends. It takes time to build that. But you're not going to make excuses with your friends about catching up. You work it out, right? As in, oh, I can't make this time, I can't, but you prioritize. So once you know, you feel like you're letting people down. So the friendship factor would help you to prioritize and be intentional. Love to hear from this group here with the lady in red.
Lady in red.
I knew she'd do that.
Yeah, so one of our concerns is about children. And I was just sharing with the group that I went to Halico Baptist Church, which was in Halico, Adelaide. And my four kids and my husband and I at the time, we went to a life group. And what I loved the most was that, you know, the kids weren't just in another room watching videos and just drawing and stuff. We have to be discipled, but so do our children. So we can't put them in another room and think it's okay, because it's actually not. So what we decided was one of us adults would be in charge of discipling them.
Great.
And we would all take it in turns. And so we would be worshipping God and they would be worshipping God. We would be learning about the Word of God. They would be learning. So not only were the adults discipled, but so were our children.
That's really good. Thank you, Annette.
Yeah, so good.
That is awesome.
And Ian sat down now, but Ian actually's life group is this afternoon, which is a real family-friendly life group. Where are you, Ian? I can't find you now. Oh, he's here. So that they're going to actually be meeting after service today. So if that is maybe a battle for some of you with kids or struggling to work out, you know, on a school night how that works, we actually have a life group on Sunday afternoons, week 2 and 4, for families.
That's right. And for anyone, if God does put it on your heart and you want to open up your home another time and make it a family life group, you can do exactly what Annette said. Just with that group, you know, you have space to put kids in a certain area and have part of the life group lead that. And we'll work together with you in training, in equipping, and also making sure that all the safety measures that are needed for children are there. So there's all different ways we can do life group. Amazing. All right, a couple more questions. And this question is actually for all these beautiful people here at the panel. In life groups, it's so easy to actually become too comfortable, I reckon, sometimes when you're part of a life group. The question is, what are some ways that people can become too comfortable in a life group? Claire, he wants you to start.
Okay.
He's already had a turn.
I think sometimes you can become a bit complacent and just content of where the life group is at. And maybe some people might find it hard to adjust to change. Like if the group's changing, new people come, people leave, it's just a different environment then. Just getting used to change.
Yeah, that's really good. I can just tell James wants to add to that. He's like, yeah, yeah. What were you wanting to say, James?
Yeah, I think, you know, getting used to the same people over again, that you struggle to bring in new people because you become like a strong group. Let's say you've been around for 1 year and then you've got this new group that comes in and you're still kind of trying to figure out how to transition them into the belonging into the group.
Yeah.
And then along with that, sometimes you can forget why you're there. Like, you just go there for the food, Bevan. I'm kidding, man. You go there for just food or the social aspect, and sometimes you can even get comfortable not being discipled because you're just there week in, week out. It just becomes part of your cycle. So yeah, just try and keep focused on what you're there for.
That's great. Yeah, so maybe you're already in a life group, maybe you've been in the same one for a while. Just a good question to be asking yourself, you know, as a life group, are we getting too comfortable? Is there any way we're getting too comfortable? Are we growing? Do we actually have vision to see what this life group is multiplied? Because Jesus was never just about one small little group. It was all about multiplying and thinking what you have in your life group, how good would that be to see other people experience it? So it's always about being, you know, in the uncomfortable zone, not the comfortable zone. You'll have seasons where you're just getting to know each other, but then there's seasons where you're looking more out. So maybe James will come back to you again. I'm just going to ask you with life groups, what's one of your favorite things? What are some of your favorite things about life, being part of a life group?
I think really just the people. Like, it's a great way to get around people, great way to build relationships, and just really getting to know people, because I think that's the biggest thing that we need in life. And you've got the social aspect, we enjoy, have a bit of a laugh, And then other times you've got people around you that you can support, encourage, and even share some stuff and be challenged. So I think just the people just excites me. Like, yeah, that's the reason why I'm there.
That's good.
Yeah, so for you, Claire, how would you find life group in your time of being in your life group, enriching relationships for within church? Like, how have they enriched your relationships within church?
Yeah, just being able to connect to people on like a deeper level outside of church. Just those relationships are very important. Just being, just growing together in your faith journey and just having conversations with one another, and just being able to discuss different things in a safe space.
No, that's good. I like what you said before about comfortability. Like, we've recently had multiplication in the flesh with a lot of our life group leaders having babies. And so it meant that that life group couldn't look the same this year. And so we've been able to multiply and change and move things around and watch God work organically in terms of families growing together. So I like what you're saying there. In the evolving of life means that things are going to look different. And so that's important to kind of move with those changes as life group changes or multiplying. We shared before, Ian's actually multiplied his group. So that sometimes means, you know, you can feel like your little family of life group can, you don't want it to change. But I think we've got to have a bigger perspective on what God's vision was for making disciples, that if we become this little clicky group of people that meet week in, week out, that no one else can come and be part of that or feel included, we're actually not looking kingdom-minded in terms of making people feel included, but also that they will change over time as people change and grow too.
Do your neighbours know that you've got life group in your house? Is your life group that loud that they're like, what's going on, hey? Like, our neighbours should be getting impacted and seeing all these people coming in. Was there a party happening at your house? There's life groups where they call it a dinner party and they just have massive, massive, you know, celebration and heaps of people coming. If you have too many people in your life group, it's not a bad problem to have. It's a good problem to have.
Our life group love hearing the acoustic singing of worship.
Yeah.
When we have a live group singing worship, so I definitely may hear.
Yeah, so you guys, before we wind things up, is there any final words, anything you want to share to encourage people to be part of life group? Because there might be some questions I sort of amped you up on, but I haven't asked already. So any final words?
I'll give some final words. I've been in life groups for 30 years probably, through my journey of little kids, family time, and then, you know, at my age now. So there's a life group for everyone.
Yeah.
We all go through journeys. We're all at different points in our journey, and we have a lot of diversity. So that's what makes life group interesting. So we participate, we share, we encourage and we uplift and we have each other's backs. And I think that's the crux of life group. So we grow together. We're all going on the journey. We're all going to one destination.
That's great.
So it's many parts, one body.
Yeah, that's it. Amen. Claire, last words for you.
Yeah, just it's so important to be able to connect to one another and just have that life group as a safe space and just throughout the week being able to send a message of encouragement or a prayer request and just knowing each other's standing together in prayer and just being there for one another.
Yeah, that's awesome. Being there for one another.
Yeah, my biggest encouragement would be is that life groups is a way to make a big room feel small in the way that you get to connect with one another. And I encourage you to move beyond just being satisfied with just knowing the faces of these people, but knowing their names and their stories and who they really are, because that's where real life happens. And along with that, to prepare to be vulnerable in a healthy way so that you can actually really engage with real life with one another. And then you start to come to church knowing who people are, knowing who you're sitting next to, knowing the person on the platforms all the way to production desk, because you're doing life with one another, and that's probably the best way to do church.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really value life groups. That's why we'd change things up on a Sunday like this, to just talk about life groups, because we can all just come and do meeting after meeting every week. But if no genuine close relationships are coming out of what we do as a church, then we're just playing church. And I just believe and hope that God's been speaking to us, to you through today about life group. Maybe you look at the list, you're like, oh, there's no life group for me there. Then let's have a chat and let's see who lives around your area, and let's step out and start something in that area. God works through all of us. So we're just praying that we'd see more life groups start up. So what we're going to do now, we're just going to go back to that list of life groups. So we just want to introduce you to some of the current life group leaders. So we're just going to start with Dingley. Could we get Elaine, and Elaine's not here today, but Annette, could you stand up?
Hello, Annette.
So, as it says, there, Annette has got a life group here at church Wednesday nights. There's a phone number there. You can ring Elaine or Annette, send them
but
a text.
But this is just a new life group, so they started just this year,
yeah,
in 2025. So it's super exciting to be able to have a Dingley Wednesday night group, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And then Chelsea Keysborough, we've got Rebecca and Tim. Could you guys stand up real quick?
Production.
So
and
Tim's
Beck.
Right at the back. Rebecca's over here. They lead a life group in Chelsea and Keysborough. So they do that together with Candace and myself at the moment. We get to do that together. We meet in two different locations. So if you live in any of those areas, talk to them, talk to us. And then Mentone and Moorabbin, Brother Prem, where are you? Prem is leading a group this year. Last year he was leading with Mel, but this year he's leading that group, and it's going to be hosted in Moorabbin and Mentone. Eva is going to be hosting that, and Claire and Lockie are also going to be hosting that group.
Young professionals.
Adults, young professionals.
So good.
Can you go through the rest of them, my love?
Sure. Fridays. Friday night we have a group in Hampton, and Shady and Jules leave that, but they're actually gone on holidays right now. We endorse holidays very much so here at New Miss South. So I'm going to ask Adrian and John if you can stand up, because they actually host this life group.
Adrian and John.
Whoa.
Yeah, this John, we'll wait for you. You're worth it.
The cooks themselves. Hey, Bevan. Yep, the cooks themselves.
Do you guys do all the cooking yourself?
Oh.
Is that true, Bevan?
We share.
Everyone cooks.
Everyone,
but she
welcome.
Cooks the best stuff. Hampton.
So Hampton is Friday nights, and we also have one on Friday nights in Mentone. If we could have Cass and Dave standing up.
Yeah.
And these guys are parents as well, so they kind of juggle it with the kids, but this has been awesome, actually, watching them multiply out of Ian's group. It was on Sunday, and then just keep growing and growing and growing, and to be able to offer them Sunday and Friday. So we honour you guys for doing that. Thank you for opening your house. And then we have Sundays, which we spoke about before. Ian and Orlando, could you stand up?
Yeah.
Well, look at these two. And they share together along with their wives, and it's an awesome family, young families, adults group on a Sunday here in Dingley after church. It starts around 1 o'clock. So
great.
There you go.
Well, so how can people join these life groups if they're not part of one?
Well, there's a QR code behind me if you wanted to grab your phone out. You also have a flyer on your tables. We'd love for you to take one of these home. Keep them on your fridge. Just if you're looking, pray into it. And you know what as well, guys? We're all family here, so there's nothing wrong with you just trying a few different ones to see which one fits. And the Lord will tell you who your tribe is, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think sometimes it can take us a while to work out what works with our lifestyle, our schedules, and we love having visitors. So come along and check out one of the life groups. Yeah.
It's been great, hasn't it? You guys, thank you for being part of the panel. And the other guys before, Shaz and Dan and Ian, thank you for sharing. But before we finish, what are we going to do? We're going to pray.
We love to pray in life groups. And actually, Something that we're wanting to do this year is to really hear the prayers within your life groups and travel them up and through our church. So as you know, on Fridays at 12 we meet. If you've got a prayer need, tell your life group leader. Obviously you'll pray with them in life group, but then we also want to make sure we as a church are praying. So if you have needs, you're looking for a job, healing, whatever, obviously if it's confidential, that's totally fine. But if there's needs within your life that you're wanting us to be praying for collectively, this is how it happens, is through life groups. And we pray over them on Fridays, 9 a.m. We pray over a lot of the prayer requests. So we just really encourage you to be praying in your life groups. Hear how each other is.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.